Hey folks, your OS review. So you're watching our video look back at the Nokia Lumia 635. This is also a discussion video of whether or not you should still pick one of these up here in the start of 2016. The Lumia 365 is one of the budget-oriented Windows phones currently on the market, and it will be upgradable to Windows Phone 10 whenever that comes out, so it is going to be on the latest and greatest in terms of the software side of things. But the 635 is kind of crippled by the fact that it has only 512 megabytes of RAM, at least the original version did, and there is a slightly updated version that has 1 gig of RAM, but that's a little bit rare, and it's not on all the carrier variants, such as the one that we have here, which is for a GoPhone service with AT&T. The 635 has definitely middle-of-the-end slash low-end specifications, and that is inclusive of a 4.5-inch TFT LCD display. Nokia makes great displays, and this is no exception, even though this is a budget phone. It has a true black technology on here, which means that the blacks are rich, they're vivid, they're saturated, and the display panel in general offers very generous viewing angles. However, the resolution is capped at 480 by 854, which is definitely not the highest on the market, and you'll notice some pixelation as you get into more graphically intensive games as well as web pages that are more complex. The camera on here also features a 5 megapixel sensor on the back. It does have autofocus, but it does not have a LED flash. It also doesn't come with the Zeiss lens, which a lot of Nokia phones did. Of course, it's now branded by Microsoft mainly, but this is back when it was still called a Nokia phone. And inside, we have access to a Snapdragon 400 processor, which is the same processor as other Android budget phones that we saw, like the HTC Desire 510 or the Sharp Aquos phone that we also saw, the Aquos Crystal. So it's actually a pretty capable chipset as far as mid-tier phones are concerned, and it is a quad-core chipset clocked at around 1.2 gigahertz. So speeds are pretty good, especially on a Windows phone, which is already optimized to run smoothly, even on single phone processors, you know, a few years back. So as you can imagine, on this chipset, the phone flies by pretty nicely. There's not too much hiccup going on at all, and web pages and multitasking runs very well. There's also an 8,030 mAh capacity battery under the cover, which is user replaceable and lasted me around 3 to 4 days on a continuous charge. Fully charging the phone takes about 2.5 hours complete, which is also pretty quick. As far as being a phone is concerned, the 635 is still pretty good in 2016, and that's because reception is quite strong. At least the GSM variant is, and we've constantly received about 3 to 4 bars here in the Seattle area, and the microphone does a good job of picking up your sound, so overall the voice quality is loud and crisp, and the speaker also does a good job of projecting your voice if you do want to use it as a speakerphone. But taking a quick look at the overall design first, the 635 is basically just a slab of plastic and glass, so it doesn't really distinguish itself from the crowd from a design perspective. However, it is extremely solid, just like most of Nokia's phones have been, and I think will be even as it becomes a part of Microsoft. As you can see, the top features the earpiece as well as the Nokia logo. You will notice that the 635 does not have a proximity sensor, so the light can only be controlled in terms of the screen brightness through the software, which is one of the ways that this phone was able to cut some corners to bring the price tag down. Another omission is a front-facing camera, which is actually something I was a little bit surprised about for such a modern phone. It came out in late 2014. It really should have that feature. So unfortunately, you can't use Skype, video chatting, or video conferencing and communication. On the bottom, there is a microphone. It's a single microphone. The back also features a micro USB port for charging. There is that mono loudspeaker, which indeed is very loud, and just a very basic back, which can be swapped out pretty easily once it gets scruffed up, or if you want to change the color, it comes in multiple vibrant color schemes. There's also a 3.5mm jack on the top for listening to your music, as well as a volume rocker that's pretty tactile and responsive, in addition to a power on-off switch. There is no dedicated key for the camera, which is one of the omissions on this particular model. Something else I will point out quickly here is that this particular phone does have a tapered design. So as you can see, it's almost like a trapezoid if you look at it on a 2D perspective. The phone gets slimmer and smaller on the base and the back, and also a bit wider in the front, which makes holding it slightly more challenging. However, it does fit more comfortably in the hand according to the kind of the natural grip of your fingers. But if you're holding it just by the rim, it makes it slightly more difficult. Thankfully, the phone isn't very slick and it has a very rugged feel to it, so I'm not too concerned about it breaking in the near future. Under the back cover, you have access just to the battery, which again is removable, as well as access to the SIM card slot. It does use that micro SIM. This is a quad-band GSM World phone, at least the AT&T variant it is. There's also a micro SD card reader for expanding the built-in memory for you to install more apps, play back more videos, more games, and more music, which is nice. It is something that you have to remove the battery first to access, so it's not hot swappable, but at least it is there. As you can see from the interface here, the Nokia Lumia 635, at least in 2016, is still pretty good as far as looking the part of a sleek and elegant smartphone that's modern and easy to use. The lock screen is quite responsive. You swipe up, you can change the wallpaper easily, and there are no on-screen, physical controls on the bottom. It's basically all virtual, so you can just tap on the screen there to go back to the home, to go back, as well as to launch a quick search key. So when the phone is completely off, it makes for a very elegant aesthetic overall. Some quick things to point out on Windows Phone. I still don't really love how the tiles only take up a portion of the screen. As you can see, the actual screen itself actually extends beyond the tile. I wish that they would just fit it to the edge of the screen, because otherwise it makes the phone seem like it has a massive bezel when in fact it doesn't. It's an average size bezel. It's just that the Windows Phone UI, the tiles at least, are not optimized fully for the width of the phone. But that's just a slight aesthetic thing, but otherwise you can see how everything is very slick and responsive. Of course, the benefit of getting a Windows phone compared to a Android smartphone is if you do a lot of office editing, Excel editing, it's great for business purposes or even for students. So it comes with a suite of built-in essentials such as Microsoft Office, OneDrive as well. You can sign in, you can create a document very quickly in a very fluid and elegant manner. So you can tap on this, edit different pictures, presentations very easily, and the built-in keyboard does a good job as well in terms of entering text and entry. So that's one of the benefits, just like on Windows mobile phones, that you won't have. It's not built in onto every Android smartphone. Otherwise, there are some Nokia-specific things still on here, like Mix Radio, Nokia Glammy, which allows you to edit your photos as well as your videos, Nokia Care. Some things are no longer accessible because of the change and shakeup there, but there's also Maps for navigation. Not as good as Google Maps, but it is something that you can download through the App Store. Speaking of, the Windows Phone App Store is still not as good as the Android, of course, not as good as the iOS App Store, but it is getting there. The essentials, including very popular games as well as productivity tools, have been transferred over by now, so it is slowly catching up. There are also other elements of this phone which we do recommend, like Here Maps and Here Drive, which allows navigation to be done easily. You can download and load different maps even when you're not connected to any internet service by saving them first, and that works very well. There's also a health and fitness tool on here, allows you to track your footsteps, uses the phone's sensors to track your number of steps you're taking a day, so it's a pedometer functionality that's kind of nice. There is no heart rate sensor, of course. Otherwise, you have some basic apps pre-installed, as usual with most Windows phones, like Finance. There's a Facebook client. There's DataSense, which allows you to track how much data you're using, a very basic camera, a calculator, and calendar apps, and that's essentially it. Other things that are notable on this phone is Cortana. Just like on a Windows 10 computer, you have the ability to have a voice assistant comparable to the iOS Siri, Apple Siri. So you can just basically say hello and then allow Cortana to do some work, such as searching up the weather or pulling up someone's contact in your list or calling someone, and that works pretty nicely. The store will push automatic updates, and the internet browser here, Explorer, is actually pretty good. It's slowly catching up, and even though it's not the best in the world, it works decently, and we're always a fan of the built-in keyboard with Windows phones. We think that they're pretty spacious and easy to type on, especially if you rotate the orientation, and it makes it even more comfortable to use. So for instance here, if we type on something, the screen is highly sensitive. You can wear a pair of gloves and it will still sense what you're typing, which is great. Something that I will note though is that the actual drag down notification drawer, it actually doesn't kind of rotate even though your phone screen has rotated. So there are still elements of the software which Microsoft needs to work on to refine and catch up, but that's something that hopefully Windows 10 will get rid of. Again, here we have access to your notifications. You can clear all. You can quickly toggle between Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and launch the camera, as well as change the brightness of the screen. So that works pretty nicely. Seems like our Wi-Fi connection is a little bit weak at the moment, so we'll take a look at the browser in a bit. First, let's check out the camera on here. So what I will say about this camera is that it's not the best in the world. It's not Nokia's best attempt because of that budget price tag range, but it does the job. Focusing is pretty fast, and it offers a very quick camera capture speed. There's also a lot of different settings that you can go through if you do want to play around with it. For instance, tapping on the top here expands this bar, which allows you to then change different things like the exposure, the focus, the aperture, and it can all be done using this intuitive design, which is like a scroll bar. So we are fans of the visual and the software side of things that Nokia has done, which is not a huge fan of the actual lens that they incorporated onto here. There's also the ability to shoot 720p HD video that works nicely. Frame rates are actually pretty smooth, despite the fact that the details are a little bit lacking, but overall for the price, you can't really complain, and photos do tend to be pretty vibrant and definitely shareable on your social media account. The speaker on here is quite loud, which is great for playing back some music as well as alarms if you're waking up in the morning. The built-in web browser is also capable of playing back some embedded videos directly. Pinch and zoom is lucid and responsive because the screen is quite sensitive, and you can play back YouTube clips directly by visiting the YouTube site. New York Times and complex sites also do load up pretty impressively. It takes a few seconds longer to completely load, but once it's done, it does a pretty reasonable job as well. So at the end of the day, the Lumia 635, would I still buy this phone in 2016? Maybe. Right now, you can find it at a prepaid price of around $20, which is extremely cheap at online stores as well as in person if you go to select locations. So that is a very reasonable price to pay for something, especially with a chipset like the Snapdragon 400. Despite not having the largest amount of RAM as well as the emission of a front-facing camera, overall, in terms of performance and software, it still is extremely up-to-date, and so there's really no elements that are essentially missing from the 635. Of course, there are phones that are with better specs on the market, but that will cost slightly more. So I would say if you are in an extreme budget, the 635 is still worth considering and checking out in person. I think 4.5 inches also hits the sweet spot in terms of fit and finish in the hand and also in the pocket. It's not too large, but also not too small. So to check out more information about the Lumia 635, be sure to read our original review, which we posted on our site about a year ago. But anyways, this has been our video throwback, as well as our discussion of whether or not it's still a decent phone here in 2016. And thanks for watching this video here at OS.